I once read, why is it that we're so attentive to the whispers of temptation, but fail to pay heed to the cries of duty and responsibility? We even take a look at our own lives. Those of us who are have a little more gray hair and a little less hair, we remember those days when Catholics abstained from meat on Fridays. Also remember that a hamburger never looked better than on those Fridays. And yet we knew we were mortifying ourselves. We were making that sacrifice, and yet there was that enticement for us to forego our sacrifice, to forego our mortification. Here we accompany Jesus into the desert on this, the first Sunday in Lent. And that's a wonderful scene that the evangelist paints for us, because the desert is stripped from everything. In the desert area, and basically you're talking in terms of sand, rock, no vegetation, usually nothing there, minimal vegetation, but nothing there. It is stripping away everything else so that a confrontation may occur. Confrontation in terms of prayer, the person looking at their own life, and everything else stripped away so that they might be confronted with themselves, with their relationship with God. And herein comes the devil. Herein comes Satan. Now you might ask yourself immediately, why does Jesus, the Son of God, subject himself to the temptation of the desert? I mean, it's a legitimate question to ask. Well, he does so because he is true God and true man. He is helping us understand immediately what we will be subjected to. That we, all humans, are going to be subjected to temptation in our lives. And here Jesus, too, is subjected to temptation. And it's interesting the way Luke characterizes the three temptations. The first one is an obvious one. It has to do with our bellies, and I might add also our pocketbooks. It is taking a look at our dependency upon materiality. On materiality, about being filled in terms of life's wants or desires. I can tell you as a priest, having had privilege to be with individuals as they spend their last moments here on earth, I've never encountered anyone who said to me, you know, Father, I wish I would have been given a little more time so that I could have established one more corporation. I wish I would have been given a little more time so that I could have had one more steak dinner or enjoyed a bottle of wine. I've often heard them say, Father, I wish I would have had more time with my wife and my children. I wish I would have had more time with my God in prayer. Here, when Jesus rejects the temptation of Satan to turn stones into bread to fill literally his hunger, his material hunger, Jesus responds immediately, not by bread alone does one live, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. A person is not fully satisfied unless the spiritual is satisfied, unless the spiritual is attended to. The devil doesn't stop there. He uses the ploy that sometimes captures many of us in our modern society. Power. Power. Look, all of these nations and kingdoms of the world I put before you because I have them. All you have to do is worship me. Submit yourself to my power and I'll give you all the rest of this power. How many of us are familiar with the Hittites, the Babylonians, the Persians? Oh, we are if we studied ancient history. But those powerful and great nations, they don't exist any longer. We study the Greeks and the Romans as they conquered most of the known world. Certainly not today. Yet the power of the 12 that were commissioned by Jesus Christ, calling the apostolic mission to their attention, investing them with the church, now today, 2,000 years later, with the group that none of us would have established in order to build the tremendous organization, the tremendous power. Today, 1.66 billion people call themselves Catholic throughout the globe. Now, obviously, having said that, we should make a greater impact on the world in the society in which we live. But it tells you immediately the power of God and the power to touch the human heart and to the power to pull people into the sense of his church and his presence as the body of Christ far surpasses the power that is known to the world. Because it's not a power of lording it from strength over our brothers and sisters, but calling them to submit to the power of love. Christ's love, our love. And then the third temptation. Suddenly the devil doesn't stop there, because Jesus obviously responds. He says, no, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone you shall serve. Not man, not power, but God. So he takes Jesus and says, now, Jesus, I'm going to go right to you, to the heart of your mission. And what I'm going to say to you right now is, look, throw yourself down from the parapet of this temple, because we know that God will come and he will support you. He'll save you. And in that sensationalism, you'll bring people to yourself. You'll bring people and achieve that. They'll acclaim you in terms of Messiah. They'll hold you up. Jesus rejects that. He rejects it because that's not the mission given to him by his Father. What's the mission given to him by his Father? There. The cross. It's in his suffering, his death, that suddenly is a testimony to the love that we know. It's in that sacrificial act of love that suddenly captures and demands our attention to be like him and to lay down our lives for brothers and sisters, to offer ourselves in terms of being responsive to the will of God in this world. The great temptation is to sensationalize and therefore bring people in immediately, but to forego the mission. Can't. You can't. You can't forego the mission, because this is what God the Father has established as the means for us, the way, the truth, and the life through him. For you see, in that cross, Jesus demonstrates his oneness with us in a way that could never have been achieved in any other manner. This is Lent. So we go into the desert. We confront those temptations that are there before us. But we make a resounding statement. We resist those temptations because of the love of Christ, who freely gave his life for us. God bless you, and may you persevere during these days of Lent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.